And he documents how this happened, how the Father started to get erased and what happened. But Paul said, I bow my knees to who? The Father. All glory goes to who? We think Jesus. It goes to the Father first. He dispenses it to the Son. I wonder how I don't know. I would think if I was the Father, I'd feel a bit neglected. When you go back and you start reading the Word, start to look at how many times the Father and the Son are the role and how they play, and how many times the Father is mentioned. I mean, not that we want to, of course, Jesus is, but Jesus was the method that God carried out the eternal purpose of God. I might sound heretical. He probably wasn't the eternal purpose, but he's the way the eternal purpose gets carried out, because the eternal purpose is beyond that. I believe it's the glory, this all-consuming thing that God wants to draw to himself. So that's how Satan works. He gets something, he gets it teetered, and then he turns it upside down. Most families, it should be the father and the wife and the kids, a little platoon in God's army. And what's he done? He's got it upside down. Most families in affluent areas are run by the kids. The mothers are wondering what's going on. The father is saying, where do I fit into this thing? It's upside down. At least that's my opinion. And you can track how that happened, because these challenges make it happen. What happens? What's upside down? The Trinity, our families, homosexuality, you know, it used to be bad. Now it's, I have some new clients in my business, and they're young, you know, younger people in their 30s, and they think it's absolutely fine. There's lesbians on our team, and homosexuals, you know, gays, and it's just like getting up and taking a shower, going, hey, no problem, man, what's your problem? And it's perfectly acceptable. And yet 25 years ago, even my parents who don't know the Lord, they thought that was absolute ridiculous. Now they think, yeah, it's fine. What happened? Upside down. He doesn't start that way often, but that's the way, it's sort of like beach erosion. In Florida, we know all about beach erosion with the hurricanes. So that's Satan's goal and God's goal. Number four, this is four of the seven. This will be real quick, and then we'll go into five, and that's where we'll spend most of our time on the challenges. Here's the three challenges. The first one is the Western brand of the New Age movement. The Western brand of the New Age movement. We call it NAM, N-A-M for short. Everything half profound has an acrostic to it. In other words, it's not the traditional New Age from the East, but what we've done is we've polished it up and put things that make it more palatable for us here in the West, and I'll detail those. Second challenge is the fierce independent spirit. It's the Corinthian spirit. Well, who are you to tell me anything? God can tell me, but you can't. And then thirdly is the love of money. And hopefully we'll be able to have time to go through how they interact with each other, because they sort of feed off each other, but they're actually, the first and second are sort of contradictory. It's very interesting how they work when you're on the lookout for them. And then I think there's seven heresies or seven difficulties that they spawn, and then we'll try to talk those through a little bit. So the three challenges, seven heresies, and then we'll go through the solutions, some things that, you know, that may be suggested. Okay, number five now. Here's the detail of the three the three challenges, how they progress. Number one, are any of you familiar with the New Age movement in the East and how it came about? You know, they're involved in often, there's different branches of it, but they're involved in reincarnation, and that's why you have holy cows walking around, and it's really a mishmash of many, many different gods and so forth. But the Western brand, essentially what it does is it says, we're getting better all the time. We don't have to worry about reincarnation. We don't really have to worry about that. Whatever we do, it's all going to work out for the best. It really soothes our conscience, and it really encourages sin. Because, you know, it's okay. No matter what you do, it's all right. I left a guy in Albuquerque this week, went down and flew down. He's a colleague of mine. And I found out his six main challenges. He believes, yeah, it's fine. Everything's going to be fine. I don't know if there's any truth, he said. And I said, well, is your statement true? He was sort of befuddled. But he believes the classic things. All religions are the same. Jesus was a good teacher. There is no truth. There's five or six main things that many people believe. So the Western New Age, then, what it does is it erases the parts of Jesus they don't like judgment and holiness and righteousness and the fear of the Lord. It just erases it because it doesn't feel good. It's all positive. And they don't want any sort of dismal future like judgment or sin. That would depress somebody. So their creed is, this is really good. I don't know, I got this from somewhere. I think it's Norm Geisler said, their creed is, no one's religion should be offensive to anybody. Does that sound familiar? The church? Okay, Here's how it plays out. The New Age Western movement here. This is the affluent version. God is always loving, sweet, quietly patient in all ways, always kind and humble, totally accepting, fully understanding, all forgiving, one-dimensional. I don't know about you, but that's primarily what I hear. If you go into a Christian card site and send me a Christian card, try to find a card on holiness or righteousness or judgment on Dayspring cards. You can't find it. You can find lots of Max Lucado stuff. And Max is okay, but Max has a one-dimensional view. Also in this New Age thing is everything is equal. It's egalitarian, you know, and they all quote that there's no Jew, there's no Greek, and you know, completely misrepresenting what that means. There is order in God's kingdom. There's always order. Jesus said, I never do anything except by what the Father tells me to do. That's order. That's, you know, that's harmony. So what Satan does is try to destroy distinctions and turn things upside down. Okay, here's the first heresy under the New Age movement. And this is it. Now, again, you may disagree. I'm not trying to step on any toes. I'm just proclaiming to you what I think the truth is. Number one is that you have, as a believer, a deceitful, evil heart that's desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17, right? Or we can fast forward to Romans 7. Wretched man that I am, the things I can't do, I want to do, and so forth and so on. That's what we hear primarily. And yet, if you go just a scant seven chapters later in Jeremiah, he said, I'll give you a new heart. You have a new heart to go and do these things that I want you to do. And then if we go fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus said in the parable of the sower, the fourth camp, if you want a good book on this, John Eldridge's book, Waking the Dead, he deals with this good heart, this versus the evil heart. It's a great book. It really, I mean, there's some things in there, but by and large, I kept waking my wife up, Sandy, listen to this. She says, Mark, I'm asleep, you know. Listen to this. So, yeah, anyway, he says, you know, in the fourth camp, you got the fourth camp, you know, of the first camp, you know, the seed scattered, and in the second camp, they believe for a while, and they fall away. In the third camp, the deceitfulness of riches and the worries and cares of the world. And then in Luke 8, he says, and the fourth camp is those with the good soil who hear it with an honest and good heart. And they bear fruit with perseverance, 30, 60, 100-fold. So lest you think it was just Jesus and his words aren't for today, we can go to our brother Paul in 1 Timothy, and he says, the goal of our instruction is love from a good heart and a good conscience. So if you start looking for this now, you'll see it everywhere. You will. You'll start seeing these things about the heart and the good conscience. Why is that? Well, that's because if your expectation is you're deceitful and deceptively wicked, you can live like that because, you know, God's all loving and it doesn't make any difference because that's just the way we are. And that's heresy. Smells like smoke is from the pit of hell. I submit to you for your consideration. Because we will have it done to us according to our faith. And I submit to you, start listening to the conversation. And you may be doing it. I used to do these all the time. Oh, you know, I'm just a desperate sinner. And I acted like one. God says, no, I've given you a new heart. So that's the first one there. So you have a good heart. Second heresy, and again, you may not think these are heresies. I'll just call them that because it's a little more profound when you call something a heresy. You know? Second one is we're just all sinners. We have a sinful nature, as the NIV translates. The flesh is too strong. We have to die to ourselves daily, you know, and we live in a state of brokenness. We're all, you know, and you have to work real, real hard all the time because you got to die daily every time. When Paul said, I die daily, look at the context. He was talking about physical death. We're already dead. You take up your cross. You never come back. You have been the old self. You know the old self? It is dead, buried, and gone. We are resurrected as new creatures. We don't have two natures. The NIV missed it. The word is flesh. You don't have two natures. You feed one or feed. That's Greek garbage and nonsense. You have a divine nature, Peter said. A nature is what is natural. It's what is customary, as Watchman Nee said. It's the normal Christian life. But even he believed in some of this particular stuff. But if we believe what is natural, we will act like that and walk on that. Paul calls us what? How many times? Saints. Hagios. That's a root word for holy ones. If you look in the margin, he calls you and I holy ones. Do you believe it? You have to take it by faith because we're saved by faith. justified by faith, sanctified by faith, and we can walk in that faith. Are we broken all the time? No, he says he came to heal up the brokenhearted.